Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of the podcast. I know it's been quite a long time since we had a new episode released, and I promise this episode is going to be very special because of the guests that we have and because of the topic that we're going to discuss today. Joining us today, we have Shyam Sundar, who is the CEO of Go Floaters. Go Floaters has got a very unique concept and ideation. So they aim to foster dynamic and vibrant communities for startups, entrepreneurs, freelancers, and business professionals. Go Floaters has grown to be one of its kind space brand in the Indian co-working spaces. Today, they have more than 1,000 plus spaces across 8 major Indian cities. And we have Shyam, who is going to talk to us more about this. Shyam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Srinidhi, for having me here. It's a pleasure to kind of share the story. And thanks for taking this to a lot of people. Hopefully, some of them don't get to do the same mistakes that I did along the way and get to, get a few cents out of this. Thank you for the opportunity again.
Thank you, Shyam. So the first question that I have, especially around this pandemic, is going to be, what made you find Go Floaters? How did you have this whole idea that's on a paper into a reality?
Sure. See, Go Floaters, I'll be frank, it is by chance, right? The whole opportunity of what Go Floaters is bringing to the world, I kind of figured this out more by chance than actually through any structured ideation, right? It is not the problem that I set out to solve the moment I became an entrepreneur. I was actually working on completely another problem, a tangentially different problem. But I think this is something that is probably my first and probably the biggest learning as an entrepreneur is that the fact that opportunity kind of lies everywhere. It's about how you view it. It's just you change the angle at which you view the situation, you would see a new opportunity opening up for you as an entrepreneur. And that's exactly what happened with Go Floaters as well, right? So just to go back in time and tell you what really happened. Like I said, I was working on another completely different problem. I was working on a startup that would make insurance much easier for small and medium businesses. And this in itself kind of took birth from me observing the challenges that small businesses had in Chennai, specifically after the floods and tsunami and Varda and all that. The fact that 99% of businesses in India don't have an insurance to protect themselves against any of these calamities kind of shook me quite hard when the global average was at 75%, right? So this is a problem that kind of was looming large at me coming out of my previous corporate career, right? I was thinking, hey, this is a problem that's worthy of my life. This is a problem that's worthy of the time and effort and energy I'm going to put into this, right? And this is exactly what I did for almost 8 months. I was working on that problem, right? And while I was doing that, this personal frustration also grew upon me where I was finding it extremely difficult to find affordable and flexible spaces for me to sit and work for a few hours, right? As I was traveling, crisscrossing Chennai, traveling to meet different people, traveling to talk to potential customers, talk to mentors, talk to potential people I want to recruit into my first startup. I found that once I was out of my my home, right, I really did not have any other place that I could kind of go and dock myself for a couple of hours and get something productively done. And the only alternatives or only choices that were available to me were get into a cafe coffee day and order a coffee and sit there and tell yourself that you love the coffee, but you actually don't. But then you sit there and work. And you kind of say, hey, this all makes sense because I'm loving the coffee, I'm loving the space and all that, right? And I was doing this for almost 7-8 months and kind of after a while, it kind of I realized that why should space be such a problem, right? When everything else has become a utility, when transportation has become a utility, all you need is a mobile phone and an app called Uber and you can travel from any point to any point, right? So when everything else has become a utility, why is office not yet become one, right? This question kind of kept on brewing on me and I was trying to figure out what would the world be when office or a space becomes a utility, right? And slowly but steadily as I kept on thinking about this is how the whole idea of Go Floaters kind of emerged, right? And that was kind of how do we say it? The Eureka moment to kind of say, hey, this is a much bigger problem than what I originally started out with, right? And it's a universal problem, not just in India or a Chennai problem. It's a universal problem, and that's something that I want kind of excited me much more. And that was a switch into co-floaters.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. I think I'm personally able to relate to a lot of it. I wouldn't have done it like 4 or 5 months back, but right now sitting in the house, doing everything inside the four walls, it is actually very frustrating. And it's a whole new different experience, right? Like I want a space where I could go and call it a work or an office, you know, just so that I have that creative space to do whatever I want to do. Right now, fast forward to right now, when we are in the middle of a pandemic, I see that there would be some objective of this entire problem statement revolving around the new normal, right? Like how do you see things going back to normal and this whole utility concept of a workplace, how do you see it shifting its gears in the future?
Right. So actually, I would kind of say that for co-floaters personally, for co-floaters itself, this entire pandemic has been a blessing in disguise. Right? Okay. Very personally, we've all been shattered by it. Firstly, we've all been locked up inside with no end of the whole thing, right? But looking at the world itself and looking at the space at which we play, I think there's much more than a silver lining from this pandemic for co-floaters. The reason being, what we were trying to say, right, to the world, tell to the world that office, you don't need to have a fixed office. You don't need to have a liability or you don't have to own something like an office or a space for you to be able to be productive and for you to be able to get your team to be productive, right? But companies say, hey, that's not how the world works, right? That's not how the world has worked so far. Right, from the industrial age onwards, we've always assembled people, congregated them into buildings, and we've made them work in cubicles. We've made them physically interact with each other. And that's how work has been happening so far, right? And you're coming and saying that that doesn't have to be the case, right? I don't believe in this, right? That's how the world was till February, right, or till March, right? But then just all it took for the virus to do is like overnight, it kind of changed all of this, right? Right. Now the world, you just look at a lot of big companies in Chennai, including the TCS of the world, the Wipros of the world, and globally, IBM's, Google, Twitter, like all these companies have now gone to a remote first model of working, right? They've all realized that while offices are needed, right, you don't have to make everybody punch in and punch out every day and follow a regime of a, you have a shift of 9 to 7, somebody else has got a shift of 12 to 6, right? That's not how it should work any longer, right? And we figured this out in this last 2.5 months, right? We've been forced to do it, but then now this has started to become a natural thing for us, many of us, right? So that's basically what I think, like I said, right? It's been a blessing in disguise. So people now, all the naysayers of remote working or work from anywhere to be more generic in nature, all their apprehensions and all their questions have been addressed squarely by many people. And this is also going to give a rise to an ecosystem of startups and ecosystem of technology players who are going to solve this problem more comprehensively. They're all going to get that additional boost to be able to solve this work from anywhere problem, right? And we feel that we've squarely fitted into that particular ecosystem of players who would solve that work from anywhere problem, where we provide that fundamental space that is fluid, right? That lets you float around wherever you are. And that's the name, right? Co-floaters, right? So your employees could be anywhere in the world, and we could they could get a productive space. They could get a functional space where internet is not you don't have to guess yourself whether internet is going to be there the next minute or not, or whether the power shutdown is going to affect you or not, right? You could actually be productive around the clock. And you can also have teams congregating once in a while, right? Because at the end of the day, we are all social beings, and you can't hold up into our rooms and doing this for almost 3.5 months. That's something that can't be a permanent solution. So we definitely need to get together with our teams and see each other's face and bond with each other, exchange notes with each other, and do that in a physical sense. And that could also be enabled by what we do. And that's how we see that the new normal actually is work from anywhere from a workplace standpoint. And that's what we were doing even before. So we feel that the world is now going to be more receptive to what we say and be more embrace this whole concept then have a lot of apprehensions against it.
Wow, that's a super interesting answer. Like, also a very new way to look at your innovative problem, just getting the right fix or the right idea getting concreted or cemented. That's a great way to think about it as well. I've personally been like, hey, pandemic has hit, what's going to happen to GoFloaters? But that's a very great answer there, Shyam. Thank you so much for that. So
add one more thing, Srinidhi. Not that we're going to take the same product and give it back to the same the audience. So I'm not saying that we're going to kind of start selling like dime a dozen after the pandemic. Mm. Right? So obviously, right. Companies and individuals and teams are going to take their own time to get back to be comfortable with the whole model and figure very out true. Ways to do it and all that. So and we're right. also kind of we're also figuring out other innovative ways in which we could repackage whatever we did. To serve the new situation better, right? But by Absolutely. And large, work from anywhere is here to stay, right? Mm-hmm. Work from home is not a permanent solution for anybody. So you right. need to find the new way of working, which is like you it's a hybrid way of working, right? You could be at home, you could be at office, you could be anywhere in between and still right. get work done, still collaborate with people and do your thing.
Right. Yes, I completely agree. I think it's more to do with the susceptibility of idea, where before it might have been really hard to drive this notion to people. But right now, because of this pandemic, everybody is ready to receive something like this. They understand the basic idea that, hey, it's okay to work from anywhere as long as I get things done. Right. So, just a very interesting thought that I had while you were talking about this. How did you set up your team at GoFloaters? Were you does your team also work out of a co-working space, or how is the dynamic there?
See, first and foremost, if we weren't believing in the model and we were not the first users of GoFloaters ourselves, I think yes. We wouldn't have. Gone so strong at it, and it would have been a disaster, right? If you don't believe right. this in yourself, right, and you can't preach to the world what you don't believe in, right, and it's going right. to show up quite soon, right? So we ourselves right. are 100% robot company, right? Mm-hmm. So I have like 4 people in Chennai, 2 in Bangalore. My co-founder himself is in the US, right? And I have a developer nice. Out of working out of Jodhpur, another developer working out of Erode, and so we are kind of a spanning 6 cities and one more person from Hyderabad. So we are also spanning 6 cities, right? And right. That's how we actually wanted to be. We didn't want to kind of stay very localized and say, and I'm going to assemble the talent here in Chennai. I mean, I'm a Chennai guy, so I started GoFloaters in Chennai. So the idea was to kind of embrace best talent from wherever it came from, right? So obviously for us, a traditional office does not work, right? I mean, hey, how many people would sit in that office, right? I mean, we're all spread across all over, right? So what we ourselves were doing before the pandemic, and this is not just before the pandemic, right? For the last 2.5 years of our operations, what we would do is like each city, right? People in that city would assemble once a week in one of our spaces and work that day, entire day in that space, right? So basically you get to meet each other in person and you get to kind of bond with the person, and you kind of discuss other things beyond just what your tasks and your responsibilities were, right? So that's what we used to do. And every quarter or at least every quarter or every 6 months, we'll all try and get together as a team in Chennai, right? So my co-founder will fly in from US, and all the teams members would come from Bangalore or Hyderabad respectively. Sorry. And we will kind of meet in Chennai and then work together as a team, right? So that's what we were doing even before. So right. we were the first users of GoFloaters, kind of doctoring ourselves. And that's how we also right. kind of got to know what's working, what's not working, so that we ourselves kind of are able to fix the problems before the customers start to see the problems.
Absolutely. I was just going to ask the next question as, hey, who was your first customers and how did you validate it? But I think I got my answer that, you know, it was the GoFloaters employees themselves who were like the first set of users who gave feedback. That's awesome.
But Srinidhi, I will have to interrupt you here, because yes. I do want to answer this question, even though you
please. Said that, absolutely. Yes, please.
Part of the answer. Because this is another big learning that I had in doing GoFloaters. And this came after I made the mistake from my first startup, right? So this is something that I think every entrepreneur should think very hard in terms of what they're doing, right? This is the concept of how do you validate your idea as quickly as possible with the least amount of expenses and effort as possible, right? So the only way to validate it for sure is to actually have paying customers, right? Not thumbs up, not likes, not shares on, you put an idea and then everybody say, hey, this is great, this is the best I've ever heard. And all. That's not validation, right? That's just encouragement, right? The validation would happen only when somebody completely unknown to you trusts you and parts away with some of their money for the service or the product that you're giving them, right? For the widget that you're giving them. So, I think the trick there for a successful entrepreneur or a smart entrepreneur is to be able to do that, get to that point as quickly as possible and get to that point without too many bruises or too much of spend and all that, right? So, and I made this mistake in my first startup, right? So, which is why I want to stress upon this fact, right? So, with GoFloaters, I went to a mentor of mine. I told him, hey, his name is Sukumar. I told him, Sukumar, I've got this idea. Dawned upon me that this is a problem I want to solve and all that, right? I told him, what do you think, right? He said, it sounds nice, but is it an idea, right? It's a great idea, but can it be a business? Can it become a business, right? Because there's a big difference between a great idea and an idea becoming a business, right? So he said, how are you going to go and validate this as quickly as possible, right? Because your kind of your idea is a new idea. It's not a better version of Swiggy or a better version of something else. It's a completely brand new idea, right? So you have to have people. You can't go by history and say, hey, Swiggy is successful, hence I'm going to be successful, right? Or somebody else was successful, hence you're going to be successful. Coming up with a new brand new thought, so you need to validate this, right? So you kind of put me into thinking to figure out how would I validate this as quickly as possible, right? And as luck would have it, or as better thinking, better level-headed thinking would have it, what I did was I ran this entire idea as a WhatsApp number for 2.5 months, right? So I just bought a easily rememberable or recognizable number, a simple number, so everybody can remember that number. And I said, hey, whoever wants a space, just message me on this number. I will send you back photographs of the space and send you back Google Maps location of the space. I'll send you whatever information you additionally need. And if you like it, if you want me to book it, just send me, reply to me on that WhatsApp number again. I'll block it for you and I'll send you a payment link. You pay for it, right? So I didn't invest on building any technology or anything of that sort for almost 2.5 months. I had a Google sheet and I had a WhatsApp number for 2.5 months. And we did close to 100 transactions, right? To be precise, somewhere around 80 to 90 transactions. We did that just with that WhatsApp number and with a Google sheet, right? And the first point, we started this on December 12th of 2017. December 14th, we had the first booking, right? So the first money came in, revenue came in on just 2 days after launching this, right? And the first complete stranger booked somewhere around Jan 5th or Jan 6th, if I exactly don't remember the date. But this, me and my team at that point, I'm scratching our heads saying, hey, who's this guy, right? Who's this person who's booking? Do we even know him, right? What is the connection that we have with him or her, right? And just when we got to hear more and more of such people where we didn't know who this person was, but this person had known about GoFloaters through some WhatsApp groups, through other people who are referring them to the service that we were offering. That's when we realized that, hey, this is something that people want, right? And people are ready to part with money. This is a problem that's worthy of solving, right? And which is after which we started to put in a mobile app, we started to develop a website and so on and so forth, right? So all I'm saying is that I think one of the success factors for a startup is to be able to as quickly validate their idea as much as possible, right? Get those paying customers as quickly as possible without having to spend a lot of money and energy, right, and time, right? I think if you do that, I think you've kind of crossed the first bridge of becoming a successful startup or a successful business.
Wow, that's awesome. If there are any entrepreneurs out there who are thinking how to go about with your next venture, I think Shyam has just given you a point 1, 2, 3 to follow. And Shyam, that's a wonderful idea, like, you know, validating your MVP and then making sure you get the customers, and then, you know, making sure that your idea is validated and it's heard so that you build further on top of it. It's a great way to go about it. And, your example is very real time and relatable as well. So I just so happened to read one of the interviews that you have given where, someone has asked you, what's the most funniest customer experience or a customer asks that you've had? So would you like to share it with our customers, and how did you go about solving this as well?
So we had many funny asks, but the winner has to be to a team of people who actually wanted a space to play cricket indoors, right?
Wow,
So this was by far the most interesting question or requirement that we got. We couldn't obviously give them a space to do play. I mean, they actually wanted an office. They said, "Hey, we want an office where we can play indoor cricket." They didn't want an indoor stadium or indoor venue, right? But they wanted an office. Correct. Maybe, I mean, they wanted that experience of playing indoor cricket, right? Inside an office. But we couldn't do that for various logistical reasons. But there have been enough number of interesting uses of co-floaters, right? Which is kind of further strengthens our idea of backing this entire idea. So we've had, for example, a girl, forget her name, I think Nandini, if I'm not wrong, right? So she said, "Hey, my elder sisters are getting married, and the entire family is at my home. I'm not able to study for my MCA exams. I need a space where I can peacefully study for my exams," right?
That's wonderful.
We were building co-floaters for working professionals, right? And this is the first time that a student said, "I wanted a space," right? Kind of struck us that, hey, we were thinking just work, right? But I mean, there are people who need a space for plenty of other things that we've not even thought about or not even attempted trying to solve for it, right? So this is one interesting thing. Another interesting and a much more, how do I say it, gratifying use case was there's a doctor, right? She's a practitioner in Ramachandra Hospital in Porur, right? Mm-hmm. So she found that many of her she's a acupuncture specialist, right? So a lot of her patients were elderly patients, right? They were traveling from all parts of the city to Porur, right, which is another end of the city, to meet her and to get consultations and to get to talk to her, right? And she realized that, hey, this doesn't make sense. Why should patients travel all the way here, and the two elderly people? And she was still getting into the profession, so she didn't have the money to set up a clinic for herself, right? So that's when she got to know about GoFloaters and said, and then she came to her and said, like, "I need a conference room, right? Can I book it for a few hours? I'll use it for my consultations, and I'll go to where my patients are, right? Rather than making them come to me. And that's what she exactly did, right? So the doctor went to the patients near their house and was able to serve them without having to make them travel to Porur, right? So this is kind of, so these are kind of things that kind of got us thinking that space itself is an impediment or is a fundamental need for various activities to happen, right? And the space is locked up in large commercial buildings, and nobody knows if it's available, not available. If it's available, then how do you use it and all that, right? And we were doing that. We were unlocking the space and making it available to anybody and everybody who wanted to use it for whatever they wanted to do with that, right? And who are we to say this is how you should use the space, right? The user is going to figure out how they want to use the space, right? So those were the kind of some interesting use cases for our service.
Wow, super interesting. Like, the more you talk about it, I'm just so awed at the fact that, hey, space as a utility is going to thrive as a concept in the future, especially when we're going to break the barricade of one office, one place, and, you know, we're not confined by it anymore. So it's super inspiring story.
There's another one also, Srinidhi. Sorry to interrupt you again. One second.
No problem. Right?
Another thing is, with the commercialization, right, we've all created mass market products, right? So your ready-made garments have taken over, right? So, I mean, they don't see your size, but then it's made, you buy it and you alternate for your usage, right? So everything has become cookie cutter, as they say, right? Cookie cutter approach. And offices have become that, right? So you are a creative person, right? I'm very sure that you're not going to find a white walled cubicle of like 50 square feet to be your... Right. Best place to kind of become be at your creative best, right? You might need a different kind of ambience. You might need a different kind of a surrounding. And in fact, you might need that white noise to kind of constantly trigger some thoughts in your mind, right? So that's another learning that we got, is that many people are also looking at different kinds of spaces, right? It's not just the same cubicle or same four by four kind of a space, right? And another interesting example is that we have a Tamil movie scriptwriter who's working out of one of our places, right? He's used like 18 of us locations, and he kind of he says, like, I want to be in one place each day so that I can observe the kind of people who come into that space. I can observe what they do, right? And that inspires me to write, pen those thoughts into my story, right? There's another novelist who's using our spaces, right? So these are kind of people who would not fit into that cookie cutter world, right? They find it quite claustrophobic for them to be able to sit into one office and one corner and then do it, right? So that's another reason why it should be a utility, so that you could kind of tap into it whenever you want it.
Wonderful. Absolutely. I completely agree to those thoughts as well. So moving on, another interesting insight that I happened to read about the company was bootstrapping. So what made you bootstrap and not look for investors or not look for funding? What is the future of this? If I can ask the question. Yeah.
See, the first thing is like, till you know that you have, so first and foremost is like, fortunately, in my case, I had started GoFloaters after working for 18 long years in the corporate world.
Right.
So financially speaking, I didn't have any immediate requirements for me to kind of look at. I could invest some time and time and energy without having to look for returns back, right, in terms of monetary financially being able to draw something back to the company, right? So that's my situation, but again, everybody might not be the same situation, right? So that's the first thing, right? I was able to build something without having to get money from outside, right? Number two is that I was actually, frankly speaking, I was not too sure if it's a business or just a brilliant idea, but not worthy enough to become a business, right? So the first year of GoFloaters was all about experimenting different types of spaces, different price points, right? Trying to figure out what's the actual problem, right? And who's facing this problem? What's the right value proposition for them, right? So, and I would also say that till the point you have not figured out I wouldn't say secret sauce, right? But till the point if you're not figured out what really works, right? Why are people even coming to you? What is the repeatable? What seems to be a repeatable pattern, right? How would you, if I got like 10 customers, how would I get 100 similar customers, right? Multiply that, scale that, right? If you've not figured out some of that, it's no matter how much money you put into that, you're not going to be able to solve it, right? So we had not solved it, right? So frankly speaking, we had not figured that out in the first year of our operations, right? So we didn't want to kind of take somebody else's money and become responsible for returning that with a return of investment, right? So that's how we kind of stayed bootstrapped for as long as we could do it. We were frugal in our own ways, right? And not trying to spend a lot of money and trying to get customers. We believe, me and my co-founder, and most of my co-founders said that we're not going to buy customers, right? We're not going to dole away freebies and dole away discounts and then get customers, right? Because then that's not a validation, that you don't get to know that they're going to stick on for long enough, right? So we said we're going to organically do this, right? It could take time, fine. We're in for the long haul. So we said we're going to organically do it and not acquire customers by doling out a lot of money, right? So we said only when we are sure that this is actually something that we could scale, and the only missing component to scale was money, then we would kind of go and ask for money, right? From somebody else. So that was our driving underlying, how do I say it? I don't call it philosophy, but that basically was the underlying decision that we took. And we kind of stood by that for quite a bit, right? But early part of 2019, we did take some external money, but from friends rather than investors. So a couple of our friends kind of wanted to be a part of the whole journey. So they helped us with a little bit of cash. That's how we've kind of survived for like almost 3 years without having to kind of go on heavy investments from outside sources. And your question on what's the future? So like I said, right, this pandemic has given us a very interesting set of opportunities and problems to solve, right? So now we are actually, while we were always building this entire thing for individuals and small teams, like I said, freelancers and professionals and people who wanted to work remotely, we are also now building another variation or variant of GoFloaters, which is going to solve the space problem for companies and larger companies, larger enterprises, right? So to give you a sneak peek of it, is that we're also kind of expanding into tier two cities of Tamil Nadu, right? So because you would see like a lot of companies that employ people in Chennai, right? They've migrated from their hometowns into Chennai just because they had a job there, and they have to get away from their families, and they're spending so much on their living, food and everything just because they have the job in Chennai, right? But now companies are saying, hey, you don't need to be in Chennai, right? I mean, we are all working remote. How does it matter whether you're in Chennai or you're in Trichy or in Madurai or Salem? Doesn't matter, right? So, so now we are kind of taking this as an opportunity or a cue to say that let's also get into tier two cities of the state, right? So, and to companies, we're saying it doesn't matter where your employees are, right? Where you recruit them from, we can give them a productive space wherever they are, right? Which is near home, so they don't have to relocate themselves to another new city and be away from their family and all that. They could make those compromises to be able to have a job, right? And that's something that seems to be ticking with companies that we've been talking to, right? Wow. So that's another shift that we've done with the post-COVID scenario.
Wonderful. Wow, that's beautiful. Awesome. So this is a beautiful journey, Shyam, so far, whatever you have been and, in for the long haul, the stories that you shared, the interesting customer use cases. Frankly, up until this call happened or just before while I was preparing for this interview, I was just looking forward to know a lot of how the business model would work. How did you validate your idea? And I think personally, as a listener, I've been answered with more and more examples. And, it's definitely something that, the forward or the future new normal world is going to be looking forward to. So in this case, have you come across any competitors so far, especially considering workplace as a utility, in that domain?
Yeah. This is another thing that I would say entrepreneurs make a mistake generally, right? Where when you say competition, you kind of immediately look at another startup or another company who's providing a service or a product that's similar to yours, right? Exactly. And you kind of fixate yourself on them and see what they're doing and how that's a challenge for you, right? But I would rather put it, my competition really is like any other way in which this problem is being solved, right?
Absolutely.
Not necessarily. So for example, in the post-COVID world, our biggest competition is work from home. So if all of us got comfortable working from home, right, and we all of us decided that, hey, this is the only way to do it, right, in spite of all the challenges, in spite of all the mental health issues, in spite of all the physical health, I mean, you don't have the best infrastructure at home, right? You can't have the professional chair and desk ergonomic arrangements there, right? So if all of us decided that work from home is here to stay, or all of us were so afraid of getting out, that's my biggest competition, right? So I'm actually trying to tell you that you could do that, right? Do that, definitely do that for 4 days a week, but once a week, get out, right? Once a week, work out of another place to kind of give yourself that fresh breath of air. Once a week, get together as a team and work together so that you can bond over them, you can collaborate better and all that, right? So basically our biggest competition today in the post-pandemic is actually work from home, right?
Right.
And in the pre-COVID world, our biggest competition was Cafe Coffee Day and Starbucks.
Right. Absolutely. Right?
Not WeWork, not GoWork, not the 91 Springboard or any of the other co-working spaces, right? It was Cafe Coffee Day and Starbucks and similar other joints that people would go to, right? If they had to work for a day or work for a few hours and get something done, right? Or meet other people, right? So not, again, like I said, we're not benchmarking against ourselves, against WeWork and GoWork, right? So having said that, apart from these other ways in which people solve that, we do have a few other players in India who also do approach it in a way similar to us. There's another player called MyHQ who operates in the north. They do something very similar to what we do. But again, I don't know what they're doing post-pandemic. So that's something that we'll have to wait and watch and see what's happening. There was also another player called Uncube. They got acquired by GoWorks. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of other smaller players across the country. So, and in fact, it's good that there are competitors, because sometimes it's also not right if you're the only guy, because which means that everybody else has figured out that's not that's not a business opportunity, right? And you are probably dog-headed and then you are going the direction and you're thinking it's a business opportunity, but nobody else thinks the same way, right? Because if there's a business opportunity, that there'll be other players there, right? If you don't find anybody else, then probably you are the guy who's kind of trying to go in the wrong direction.
Great point. Absolutely. Yes, Shyam. That's awesome. So moving slightly out of GoFloat is I have some generic answers, generic questions for which I'm looking for answers. I know that over the course of discussion, you have given some great advices for somebody who would want to start up. But is there anything exclusive, top two advice that you would want to give out to people who would want to have a startup of their own or who would like to start up? Yeah.
Yes, and this is an advice. I cannot not at the position to kind of give advice as a mentor because I'm 3 years into entrepreneurship. So, but I'll tell you what I've learned from the mistakes. Right, number one, specifically if you're a tech entrepreneur, and you, my biggest advice is like give tech to somebody else. Right,
right.
Don't get to do this yourself because then you get behind it, and it becomes the a secret protection that you build around yourself, and you don't end up spending time and talking to customers, talking to people and getting advice and feedback and all that, right? So my first advice to tech entrepreneurs or any entrepreneur is to be out of your home or out of your office and talk to people, talk to potential customers. You think they are potential, but then have that validated and all that, right? So one is to do that, right? And that should be the only focus for the founder, right? I mean, they should delegate everything else to somebody else, right?
Right.
That's one big mistake that entrepreneurs do, that they don't delegate. And if they are comfortable doing something, they're the best at something, then they start off with that, right? And that's completely wrong place to start, right? That's number one. Number two, I think, like I said before, validate your problem or validate the problem that you think people have and validate the idea that or the solution that you're giving to that problem. In the fastest way possible, in the easiest way possible, and in the cheapest way possible, right? I've seen entrepreneurs kind of spend 9 months, 10 months building a product. Nobody else has seen that beyond their own team and probably some mentors, right? No potential customer has seen that even, right? And they have the hope that I build it and everybody will come, right?
Right.
And that's probably a very wrong way to approach many ideas, right? Not necessarily... Every idea has to be falling into this kind of a pattern, but many ideas, I think it's best to kind of validate it before you kind of get started on investing a lot more time and more importantly, your career into it, right? So that's the second advice that I'll give. Third advice is like, it's a little difficult to do it in these times, but build your network. Have a lot of people who are in a similar space as yourself in terms of the journey, right? I think there's a lot of strength you can derive from people, other people that you can talk to, other people you can ask advice for, right? Approach people who could probably become your mentors or advisors at some point in time, but be out there, network as much as possible, connect with a lot of people who've been there, who've done that before, because all of this is something that would, entrepreneurship specifically, you will not have answers for many of them, right? Or even if you might think that you have the answers, but your answers may not be comprehensive enough or might not be correct, right? So you would need other people to sound it off to and kind of get it validated. And I think, so third tip would be to kind of build your network, connect with as many people who are in the similar space and try to kind of, you have to give, right? You have to first give to them before you can ask something from them. So you be a giver and you kind of contribute before you kind of can ask go on asking questions. So, that's the third probably input I would give.
Wonderful. Super. Awesome. So the next question is some of your favorite books, podcasts that you would want others to read. It could be for an entrepreneur. It could be for a product manager. It could be anybody with an idea, right? So what would be your top picks on these two places?
So frankly, I'm not a voracious book reader. I do a lot more audibles nowadays than actually read books.
Wow.
Right. I listen to them right rather than reading because I do doze off when I start to read books,
right.
And it doesn't naturally go with my biological cycle for some reason, right? But anyway, so the top three books that come to my mind is like one is called Zero to One, right? which is by who's that guy? Peter Thiel, right? And the second is called The Purple Cow by Seth Godin, the marketing guru. And both of them you can actually see are the kind of talk about how do you differentiate yourself, your idea or your solution from somebody. How do you build a purple cow? How do you build your idea has to be the one, right, amongst the zeros, right? So it kind of has to be a complete shift, right? It should not be a me too idea or a me too product, right? And I like that. That's what every startup I think should be, right? It should not be me too of something else, right? It should not be a delta on top of something else. It should be a brand new way to solve the problem, right? So these two books. Third book is I don't know if this is more of I think product managers and product designers and would also and find this interesting. It's a book called Hooked, right? Which talks about how do you design, right? I mean, in simple ways, it talks about how design could be a game changer, right? How do you design products? How do you design widgets, right? Other people use, right? And how do you, and a lot of common sense that has to be put into to kind of build something usable for somebody, right? Another right. book is Built to Love, right? Built to Love is also a book in a similar domain that talks about designing products that people fall in love with naturally and automatically. Right? So these would be my book recommendations. Again, all of these books are like pretty old books, right? And the last that I heard was Blitzscale Scaling from Reid Hoffman, right? Of LinkedIn, right? So that's the third book. Because now I'm thinking about how to scale co-floaters. So I'm kind of reading, or I've kind of read that me and my co-founder went through that book to kind of figure out ways in which you could scale an idea, right? So these would be a book takes, right? Again, like I said, I'm not a big book guy.
But I'm not going to take that for an answer because you just gave an amazing list of books that people can read and learn from. So I'm going to just definitely take you as a Varushi.
This is the complete list of what I've read in the last 3 years. So it's not like I picked the top five from 50 that I've read, right? So these are the only five that I've read or listened to so far, right? These are ones. And but I listen to a lot of podcasts, right?
Awesome.
So I kind of Reid Hoffman has his own podcast, right? Then the Startup School from Y Combinator that I listen to. Mm-hmm. On marketing, I listen to podcasts from Eric Hsu and from Neil Patel, right? Called the Marketing School. Then there are other things that there's a podcast called The Pitch that talks about how do you pitch your idea to somebody else, right? Not necessarily to an investor, right? But even to a customer, if you have to tell them, hey, this is what I do, right? And they should get it automatically, right? So kind of listen to those kind of things again. Some of these are based on what's the question that I have in my head at the point in time, right? Then you figure out, hey, this podcast kind of gives you some ideas about it and you kind of gravitate towards that. So these would be the ones.
Awesome, Shyam. Wow, that's a great list. Like some of these podcasts I haven't heard myself, but it looks super intriguing, and I'm just going to go back and listen to all of this. So we are almost at the end of it. Just one last question. Some of the apps that you use on a day-to-day basis and something that you cannot go without or think a world without these apps. So what are these top three apps maybe? Yeah.
The top cream of the cream has to be GoFloaters, right? Like I said, we are the first users of GoFloaters. So that's right. The first app that will be on my home screen. And as a user, right? I'm not saying as the founder of the company,
admin.
As a user.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two will have to be, I think, Slack. Mm-hmm. Internally, we've kind of grown into a company that heavily does communication through Slack and definitely doing the COVID times, it's been asynchronous, right? I mean, people are working from home. You don't know who's going to be available when, right? You just shoot them a message and you kind of get the response, right? So Slack is certainly something that we are kind of have grown into. We used to do a lot of Zoom, but then we do now a lot of Google Meet. So for collaboration, it's Slack plus Google Meet that we use, right? And our entire ecosystem is kind of built internally at least, right? It's built around Zoho One. We use many aspects, many products of Zoho One. So be it like on our website, chat is powered by Zoho, the chatbot is powered by Zoho. We use Zoho Books for our invoicing, for accounting and GST and so on and so on and so forth. We use Zoho Flow, Zoho Campaigns. Like, I mean, again, I'll sound like a Zoho salesperson here, but we use a lot of Zoho stuff, right? For our operations and for our finances and marketing automation and many other things. So,
right.
Yeah. So I think these are the ones that you probably find it difficult to live without.
Awesome, Shyam. That's a great list, especially Slack. It just took me back in days where I was using Slack as well. Thank you so much for your time on this interview. I've learned a lot of valuable lessons and insights from, to see things in a completely different perspective. And good luck to GoFloaters. May you guys solve more bigger problems that people are going to come up with. May this pandemic be more pivoting point for your business, and good luck to you as well. Thank you so much for taking time out. Today is Sunday for the listeners, just for a record. And Shyam was super kind enough to accommodate an entire recording on a Sunday evening. So thank you so much, Shyam, once again.
Hey, thanks a lot, Srinidhi. And any entrepreneur, the day doesn't matter really.
Right.
I'm sure you don't have to. Yeah, so it's Sunday or Monday would have been the same. So, great. Thanks for the opportunity. And so this is something that I said in the beginning of it, right? I don't want people to know what I did to build something, right? I want people to know what mistakes I have done so that they don't end up doing the same thing again, right? And I was fortunate enough to have great mentors and great network because I had worked for so long and had built a lot of connects before that, right? A lot of other younger entrepreneurs don't have that advantage, right? And I kind of figure out all possible ways to kind of be that. How do I say, right? The communication channel, so to say, if I have to, right? From the wisdom of knowledge that I've gained from a lot of people, I want to be the communication channel to take it to as many people as possible. And this podcast serves a great mechanism for me able to do that. I'm happy that you guys thought it was worthy enough to take my story to everybody else. So thanks a lot.
Awesome, Shyam. It was such an honor. Thank you so much once again, and have a great evening ahead.
Sure, you too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.